Hey, it's Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc. Thanks for joining me on my podcast, Tell Me Something Good About Retail, where I interview some of the best entrepreneurs and retailers and people who deal with retail in a new and exciting podcast format each week. So join me live here, or you can also find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. Let's get going. Thanks for joining me on this podcast where I'm speaking to Patrick Burke, CEO of his namesake men's clothing store in County Clare, along with his wife, Imelda, who has her own restaurant across the street. I spoke to them about Patrick being the fourth generation owner the day after he received the prestigious Retail Excellence Award for 90 years in retail. I know you're going to love this one. Hey, it's Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc. I am here in Dublin, Ireland, and I've had the most wonderful time with these two folks. And, well, tell me, Patrick, what happened last night?
Well, I got a totally flabbergasting surprise last night at the retail dinner that our family business is 90 years in business this year.
90 years, okay.
90 years. I'm the third generation in the business, and I'm behind the counter for the last 55 years. At this stage, but I was awarded a beautiful plaque, and it really, really knocked me for six. I wasn't expecting it in any shape, make or form. I got beautiful compliments and accolades, which knocked me for six for a while. When I got my legs back again, I was totally delighted.
Well, you should be. And who is this lovely woman next to you?
this lady here is my wife, Imelda.
Yeah.
Tell us about what do you do and how.
Okay, so we're married over 30 years.
30 years.
So I support Patrick all the way. I'm actually a home economics teacher myself, so I'm very into food as well, Bob. I love Irish food and local food, and I run a restaurant on the Wild Atlantic Way, which I'm sure all your listeners would be familiar with in Ireland.
And I hope so.
Yeah.
They are now.
There you go.
And I'm in Kilkee in County Clare, and I seaside town, and it's where Patrick grew up. So Patrick actually started my business for me when I left college. He gave me a loan of £400.
Really?
For my business.
£500.
Oh.
I never
interest.
Forget.
There he's got that. I love that.
Yeah, it's
and,
good.
And so, and you both love customer service.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they were at my keynote yesterday,
yes,
and we just bonded over like, yes, that's exactly what we're talking about. But in a world where everybody's talking about it's all about technology and it's all about knowing, you know, your smartphone and all that, you both have a different version of that, right?
I'd say we probably still have a lot of old school ideas and old school habits, you know, and that which we were brought up with. Because both our parents were in business before us in different businesses, and we were just brought up that you appreciate your customer. Your customer is not alone your friend or a way you make a living out of. He's your next door neighbor. He's a guy you meet in the street. He's a fellow you meet at a football match. He's the guy that you tug out, you know, for a wedding, for a funeral, for any event. You know, so he's
actually, not something to take money from.
No. The money is. Just it's part of the transaction, fine, but it's not the major part of the transaction. It's the familiarity, the friendships, and the acquaintances that are built up over the years.
And you talked about it as the spider web, the spider web
the cobweb,
of community,
yes,
cobweb.
Yes,
excuse me.
Yeah, cobweb of in the community, and that, you know, families are intertwined in smaller areas. They're related or they're friendly or whatever, and businesses then are a part of the network of the community and the fabric of the community, and they all cross at different points.
And that's what keeps the community strong.
Exactly.
Right?
Very much so. Yeah. And if one part falls down, if the family, if you know, families maybe die out or a business closes down or whatever, you know, there's a hole in that web, and it takes a long time for that hole to be repaired.
That's right. But it's up to all of you to prepare
everybody
that.
Everybody comes
right?
together, though.
Yeah, I think that's
support each other. Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
And you said you started out at 7 years old to the knees
groceries.
Of your great-grandfather,
yeah,
was that it?
Well, the knees
right.
of my grandmother and my granny. Yeah, my granny, yeah, actually, yeah.
At the grocery store or something,
that's right, in the gro- yeah, my granny and my mother. And my mother had a grocery store. My granny had a store. My granny was in had the menswear shop. Her husband had just passed away the year I was born, actually. And that, so you know, she in her own right was a particularly strong woman as well. During the war, in we had rationing here in Ireland, and she went around the country buying butter and eggs and exchanging them for tea and sugar. Mm. From the towns, she was one of the first women in
the drive.
Yeah, she was in her
made
own way,
cakes,
you know.
She made cakes then,
wedding cakes, everything
the business,
like that.
Selling, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the clothes shop, maybe it wasn't that busy, and mm-hmm. she'd make the cakes to supplement. That was his granny, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. And my mother then had the grocery shop in Kilkee Seaside Resort, and that was a very busy resort at that time with families coming from Limerick, the city close enough to us. And then she, you know, for 4 months of the year, she opened at 7 in the morning, she closed at 11 at night. The staff,
wow.
Yeah, you know, the girls.
We think you have long hours in a mall. That's a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So the girls who worked in the shop with my mother left at 8 o'clock. So family members plowed in the other 3 hours. So you know, even though I was 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 11, that I worked from 8 till 11 at night.
Wow. And we talked about that we both, all three of us share that, starting off as that kind of a janitor, right? I mean, that's the stuff that we still notice today, stuff that nobody else would notice unless you did that job.
That's right.
You know, the chewing gum stuck to the footpath outside the
door,
you know,
cleaning up,
you know, the cobweb that might be in the corner of the window.
But they notice that. See, that's the thing. Yeah, customers notice that.
They do. And so I would notice it. We're the people that end up cleaning it, because everybody else, if would pass it.
Absolutely. And then pretty soon you look around, you're like, my store looks terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's my fault. Right? Yeah. That's right. What's exactly the biggest and best advice you think you ever received?
God, I suppose, you know, my mother always had the thing: be honest in business. Mm. Never ever do your customer wrong.
And she always preached as well, which she was a fantastic woman, his man. She was a great businesswoman. She was always smiling and joking, funny. But she said, treat everyone equally, whether it's the guy with the big car or whether it's the guy that's on his little bicycle up the road. You treat everyone equal. And she was as good to the whatever, every person that came in her door, she treated them with respect.
See, I think that's the secret.
Key. It is, yes.
But you had to train that. Because right now we've got every kid has got something nasty to say on a reality show about somebody else, right? And it's funny to say something, but it's not funny to hear someone talk bad about one of your customers, is it?
No.
That's
no,
a horrible moment.
It is.
And it's one that we wouldn't allow our staff to do. We wouldn't do it ourselves, so we wouldn't allow anybody else to do it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is treated equally. Everybody is treated the same, with the utmost of respect, in every way. But as well as that, treated in a very friendly manner, and that's the main thing: the friendly manner.
So you start off being friends, and then just go from there. Hmm. You're not waiting for them to like you first. You got to like them first.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, but we do. Yeah, and I suppose we're in such a small and close-knit community as well, and that we're in business for so long in the community. You know, we'd have a certain reputation, possibly. You know, the reputation would be good, so you have to uphold that reputation.
I think you have better than a good reputation. I think you have an amazing reputation, my friend. You know, we talked last night towards the end about being story collectors. I think that's just a great idea. And we were talking about you're outfitting people for graduations and weddings, but you're also kind of a counselor, right? You have some stories along that line.
You know, we that's the thing. When you get so close to your customer, like we do, and over the years, you know a bit about their background history. You know, when marriages or deaths or you know, problems of any sort, and they come to you, they automatically, because they know that. that Burks will sort me out. Mm. You know, we often get a guy in on a Saturday morning, he's going to a wedding that day. He needs a suit, he needs a shirt, he needs a tie, he needs a haircut. The suit might need alterations. We have our own in-house tailors. We have a barber in-house. We'll iron the shirt for the guy. We'll turn up the trousers. We'll lace the shoes. And I've actually often even polished customer shoes myself. I wouldn't let them out.
Perfect.
But see, I think that's good. But because all you're selling is a feeling.
That's right.
And you want him to feel a certain way when he walks out there, and you're giving it to him. That's a big gift.
Mm. Yeah, and let them walk out feeling a foot taller than when they came in.
And that's the other thing that I thought was really great about Patrick, that they added the barbershop. Mm. Because, and you were telling me about the rugby McGregor, right?
Oh, Conor McGregor.
What did he do for menswear?
Conor McGregor was the best thing that hit the Irish fashion trade in the last 40 years, I'd say, since the Beatles, maybe. Conor McGregor, he dresses well. He puts a lot of time and effort into his appearance, from his hair through his beard right through to the very fashionably crafted suits that he wears. So he has become an icon to the younger people of Ireland. And obviously a very successful fighter, and now becoming a very, very successful businessman. But his wardrobe is what really took off in Ireland. The copying his look.
And that grooming of the beard, that's what bought him the barbershop.
It was. We noticed that not alone the check suit, which was his signature look, with the waistcoat, but the way he tailored his hair, his beard, and that, you know, we said we got to have this add on. We have to bolt on this to our business just to complete the look.
Well, absolutely,
and very successfully we did.
Yeah, I loved
very
it.
Very successfully.
So we also talked last night. So when I were chatting, out of nowhere, he picks out one of these from his pocket, which we have three here. Unfortunately, you can't get it. And I don't know exactly how to even pronounce what this is or the game.
Slitter.
But I want you to tell me what is, and you have a video, by the way, about behind these as well.
That's right, yes.
But what is your goal for this? This is a sporting goods.
This is your traditional Irish slitter, which we'll say would relate in England to a cricket ball, or in America to a baseball.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's played with a stick of ash. You know, ash is the timber that's used in it. It's a very, very fast sport. This ball travels at over 100 kilometers an hour when it's hit. It's quite an iconic sport, really. But our county, County Clare, won the All Ireland, which would be the equivalent of winning
World Series,
World
Series
in America. Exactly. So I bought 5,000 of these from Pakistan, where they're made, because they're similarly made to a cricket ball, and that is what. So what we do now is that we launched this World Slitter Challenge
just this week, I think.
That's right. So anybody going on holidays or on an expedition or any sort of a trip, we give them to our customers, and then take them off with them. Take a photograph in front of an iconic building, place, wherever, anywhere in the world, and send us back the photograph on social media. The best photograph every month wins a makeover.
I didn't know there was a prize. Yeah, I thought it was just
well, but as well as that, what has really surprised me is that from the photographs that we're getting, how far around the world and how out of the way places that not alone Irish people but Clare people get. We have from Alcatraz. We've had from pool parties in LA, but we have also from the other side of the world, down Tasmania, and we've even had from base camp in Everest.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, where a local guy climbed Mount Everest.
And again, think about what it is to carry this. I mean, you're packing your product just to be able to take a picture of it.
That's
the epitome of loyalty, and it didn't come from an app, folks.
That's right.
It came from this guy doing the hard work of coming up with with great marketing things too. Yeah.
Coming up with an idea.
Right? Tell me about your socks too. I love your socks.
Anybody who purchases a suit from us, we give them socks. And the socks have our
our name on them. So if somebody admires the suit that you're wearing, and then they say, well, where did you get the suit? You just pull up the leg of your trousers. There, that's right. The guy, Patrick Burke. It's right on his socks.
It's right there. I love that. And again, it all comes down to having fun with it.
Nice.
And the idea of that one-stop groom.
Yes.
That even if the guy didn't think of it for 24 hours, he could still be a winner with you.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in a lot of other places, like, we can't do that. Yeah. You should have been here a week ago.
That's
we can't. And you have a lot of testimonials on your page too of people saying you outfitted the whole wedding party.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, what we often say is that the impossible we can do it once. Miracles take a little bit longer.
I will say to anybody,
young or old, it doesn't make a difference, that I can knock 3 years off you by showing you how to wear your clothes properly. Mm. So we can knock 3 years.
So hold on a second, because I think that's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So give me one tip.
Yeah. So
because although I get tired of my clothes, I think that's the problem with me. But
yeah, well, funny. If you have physically, if you have the within reason of a decent shape, by wearing the silhouette of your jackets a little bit neater.
Yeah.
You know,
does it mean a little tighter?
Tighter, yeah. Yes, yeah, a little bit tighter. Not, I don't mean painted onto you, no, but I mean fitted.
Okay.
You know, formed onto you, and that it actually shows the contours of your
absolutely.
Body and your shoulders much better.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you wear your garments loose, they sag on you, but they actually make your body look like it is drooping as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So little things like that. The proper length in the trousers and wearing the trousers.
Proper length of the trousers were my pet peeves.
Oh. Yeah.
Guys
that
get short trousers too short.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you look short. You don't realize it's all about looks. I used
That's
to sell
right.
cowboy clothes.
So
the way we
yeah.
would so the way we would talk about it is, you know, cowboy clothes have that yoke up here.
That's
and
right.
you say, so if it does this to your shoulders, what's it do to your waist? And they would all just go, you'd be in front of the mirror. What's, if it does this to your shoulders, what do to your waist? And they'd be like, you're like, exactly. And it was just fun to see their eyes like, wow, really? That works? Like, well, yeah. It's all about that image.
That's true.
That image and that feeling.
When I started it in the menswear end of it in the early 70s, and that the lariat tie.
Sure.
Which is the cowboy look.
That
was actually popular at the time. Yeah. And then the cravat.
Oh, right,
yeah,
right,
the hanky.
Yeah,
the,
right.
The
Apache, bandana.
Apache stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. That was another idea that was.
Are you going to bring that
time.
Back?
I can see it happening in maybe. The other thing that I noticed with fashion too, fashion changes with hairstyles. Long hair brought in bell bottoms and low cut denims and everything
that.
Short or neater hair brought in more formed, more fitted clothes. Mm. So the hairstyles have to change before the fashion will change. And at the moment, it's all clean cut.
And it's all really trim. I'm not that trim anymore.
Yeah.
I'm 60.
You're not bad.
I'm not bad, but, you know.
No.
So I have one of my favorite questions I ask. So both of you have to answer this.
All right. Okay.
So you have a friend. They've just rung you up, and they said, I want to have coffee. I want to tell you something. So you go to coffee. It's your favorite place. And they say, in your case, I'm about to open a restaurant. I want to open a restaurant. I've always wanted to open it. What would you tell them?
What would I tell them?
Actually, there they are. Speak to them right there. That's your friend.
Well, I own the restaurant with over 30 years.
Yeah.
It's very hard work, I would tell them. I start every morning at 5:30 a.m. And I do start with all the baking because we make everything on site. Every morsel in my restaurant is homemade. So I would say to them, they need to learn the product first. They need to be trained in the product. I think the person that thinks they can open the door, they have a lovely fancy idea that they are going to have these little tea rooms and they're going to be dressed up like I am today and, you know, and walk around and that everybody else will do the hard work, they won't. You need to understand the product. You need to understand, well, why did that cake sink today when we were making? So, you know, I would spend maybe a month in my quiet times testing recipes, making sure flavors are correct. You know, we did it there only a month ago with coffee cakes and lemon cakes. Are they lemon enough? We need to get them more lemon. How can I get them more lemon? I'm testing.
Well, couldn't
I
just
the
buy
butter.
All that from a supplier?
They're not good, though. They're not good.
And what
That's
will happen to the business?
That's the secret of my success.
What will happen to the business?
It will go down.
There's no
and
way.
And they'll close. And they last a year. And what's happening here in Ireland now is that everybody is buying the products because labor is very expensive. And in the summertime, in my restaurant, in the peak weeks, we have up to 30 people working. Right? And it's
because that's what you need.
That's what you need. It's labor intensive.
And that one point I wanted to get to also was the way you said got a little, there we go, was that you started off with, I'm there at 5:30 every
that's
day.
That's right, I am. And that's what I'd like to tell
kind of like you were talking about, you got to put the time in if you're going to be in business.
You've got to put the time in. It could be 7 days a week more. All weeks with me are nearly 7 days a week. Yeah. I might get home. And I mightn't get home. I might be the last person out because I'm checking, is everything there for the morning? Is everything right that when I walk in the door at 5:30, that I've no hassle?
You know that it's ready to go.
Yeah, that it's ready to go.
That's huge. Patrick, what would you add?
What would I say?
So a young man or young woman says, I'm going to open a...
Well, our son is there, I suppose, maybe in a couple of years. Okay. He might be down the road, but maybe
that's
it's
right.
set up for him.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Well, if you're starting from scratch, you have to have a passion. And nothing can be left undone, and nothing can be a problem to you. You have to overcome. You will have to overcome lots of problems. So nothing can faze you, and nothing should faze you. Finance in Ireland at the moment is probably the biggest thing. Then after that,
okay.
And that it's impossible to get finance to start any business in Ireland at the moment.
Okay,
the banks have just more or less shut up shop, as they've had over the last 10 years. So typically there are very, very few businesses starting up. Imelda just alluded to it there, and I would definitely confirm it, that knowledge of what you're about to start up, courage isn't enough. You need knowledge as well as courage.
So I like clothes, isn't that enough?
No.
I like to buy clothes. Isn't that enough?
No.
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I just like to buy clothes, so I'll be successful, right? It's like
You won't know though if this guy's suit is fitting him correctly. You won't have the knowledge. Then you won't know the knowledge of a cloth or the shirt or what's a good quality. Patrick travels
same
all
the,
over
the
world.
Yeah.
The same as my ingredients. What's good? What's bad? I buy always good quality ingredients. And people say to me, God, you buy all that much butter in Ireland? We do a lot of cakes with butter and all our scrambled egg for the breakfast. And people say, oh, but you buy all that? And I say, but I get it back. I have to be just the best on the street. Everybody tries to copy then. Once you're there, I think you said that yesterday.
You've only got
a little short time, and then they're on the bandwagon copying. And I have had that over the years, big time. Big time.
Drive you nuts, and then you just have to say,
so
just stay true.
Just drive ahead again.
Bring another product on that people like and zone in on it, maybe. And like, we have a very successful carrot cake. Everybody tells me it's the best in Ireland. My God, it's the best in Ireland. And, you know, people come for it. They just come. We're a destination.
So you don't do that. You buy the average stuff. Now you've got to spend all that marketing.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
To say, please come to try me and have average service and have a sort of lemon kind of cake, but it's not exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, you have passionate followers, both of your businesses.
We're lucky we have. And the other side of that is I would never discourage somebody from following their dream. If they want to start a business, I would definitely encourage them. But I would also advise them that they should get a mentor of some sort.
Okay.
You know, be it a person who has been through the mill, or advisors who can guide them. But I would never discourage them from following.
Or go work in a store first or something.
Very much that.
Because I think it's fun to say you're the business owner, but the reality is we're all salesmen. We're all salespeople.
That's right.
We don't eat unless somebody buys.
That's right.
And until you understand that, it's easy to fill up a store with pretty stuff. And then it's your money sitting there, and you're like,
That's all my money is in inventory.
That happens in a lot of businesses. There was a talk I listened to lately there, and the guy, he was in the coffee business, and he called them breadline entrepreneurs. A lot of people in business who start up business really are on the breadline. Everything is tied up in their business. They're not turning over enough. You know, they're not able to get enough out of it, and they're just struggling from day to day.
Yes. You bought yourself a job. It's not really a business.
Yes, you bought
yourself a job.
Or it's
a hobby.
Bought yourself a job.
That's a good idea.
So tell me, what would you... you've been generous with your time, and if you can hear the clanging, we've just finished breakfast, and they've been so generous today with me. Would you think... what's your definition of great customer service?
Well, everybody thinks they have the best customer service. You know,
that is so true.
I never think that. No. I always think we can be better. And my thing to my staff is that my co-workers, I don't call them staff, don't be honest, I call them co-workers and friends.
Did you get that distinction, co-workers and friends, not staff? I love that, keep going.
You know, five-star service. So, you know, I've looked at hotels, I've looked at the quality service that hotels give in the five-star market. Is there anything that I can bring to my business from the likes of their service? So that's the kind of ambition that I would have for our business. That everybody tells us we're good. I don't realize, possibly myself, that we're as good as we are, but I feel that we can do better and strive to be better all the time.
But that speaks to the same thing you're doing with your recipes.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, it's a great carrot cake.
Yeah,
it's today.
Yeah, it is. But all the ingredients have to be good, and the person making it has to be careful that everything is weighed properly. You know, that's the important. And then it's down to the servers in my restaurant and whether they're smiling today. And
so, how do you train that?
I do a training day with my staff to make sure that they understand every product that we have. Okay. And they understand our area, that we're on the Lupaid Peninsula, Wild Atlantic Way, so that we have our foreigners as well as our locals in, that, you know, you're able to say to people, you know where you're going today. A lot of people come to see the Cliffs of Moher, which you probably have heard of in the States. And we have beautiful scenery and cliffs. You saw them in our video last night. Beautiful. And we try and make sure that people coming to visit have a good experience in the town, not just in my restaurant, but in the town.
So you're really, that's customer service for the area.
That's
for
it.
Or ambassadors for your area.
Yes, that's very much so.
Which I certainly get from both of you.
Yeah. Mm. And you asked me there about it, and the one thing that just struck me there now is we hire... for attitude and smile, and you can train the rest.
Mm. Attitude and smile.
Attitude and smile. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can tell you to smile,
positivity,
but that's not sincere. You have it has to come.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Painted on smile is not good.
No, it has
to be natural smile. So attitude and smile, and you can train the rest.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I was at I did a speech much like yesterday. Yeah. So I do a speech, and before I go in, it's a buffet breakfast and like this, and I do my speech, and at lunch, I'm going back through the line, and one of the servers says, how'd your speech go this morning? I was like, really? I mean, that was pretty exceptional. And she goes, well, I saw you had a full house, and did it go well? I said, it really did. And it took me back, because it was just saying, I care about you, that moment in your life.
Yes.
Just that's
I'm
that much.
I'm interested in you.
I'm interested in you.
Yeah. I'm interested in you.
It's not just like, here, go away.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And I think that's the key with you.
Yeah, right? Very much so.
Because you probably see people from very young, and I imagine, sadly, all the way right through to death, that's true.
Well, years ago when we were 10 years ago when we were 8 years in business, we ran a competition to see could we find four generations of the one family who were shopping with us. I actually could figure out 3 to 4 families who had 3 generations, but I was looking for somebody with the 4th generation. You know, we ended up with 3 different families with 4 generations working, or at least.
Wow.
Purchasing from us at the time.
That's amazing.
10 years ago.
That's amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people think loyalty is, they got points on a card. Loyalty is 4 generations coming back to you and you're still around. So you've been generous with your time. When you feel overwhelmed or you kind of like you lost your way or you're frazzled, what do you do? What's your secret?
What's my secret?
Because you have a lot of irons in the fire, both of you.
Yeah. Well, a bit of physical activity is what I like.
Okay.
Exercise. You know, if I don't, in my younger days, I never participated in sport unless there was sweat involved. and now even today, I can't watch sport without sweat involved. and definitely, even in my own instance, I cycle now. I had a knee replacement a few years ago, so running is gone for me now.
Yes.
But I cycle now, and I like the fresh air. For that,
it's always good.
Clears my head.
Always
definitely
good.
Clears my head.
Walk the cliffs that you saw on the video.
Lovely. I will show you all that that link when we get around to it. And so, my name of my podcast is "Tell Me Something Great About Retail." So, tell me something great about retail. Well, I think you could go on and on.
Yeah, no. Well, I tell you,
because he's like the greatest ambassador for retail in the world. I mean, wouldn't you all want to be able to walk into his store or into her restaurant and meet these people? And I get to meet them today halfway across the world in Dublin. So,
yeah, right. But for me, the greatest thing about retail is actually to be a part of it, to be working in it, to enjoy what I'm doing. And successful, to be successful at it.
Yeah, to be successful. Yeah. You want to be
That's
good
the greatest thing about
job.
Retail for me. Mm.
Good. I like that.
Yeah, and I like to be good at my job. As I said to you earlier, you know, I'm in the Wild Atlantic Way and I want to be a destination. I want people to come to me for good food, for good quality food, good local produce. You know, I'm not into convenience foods or that, so I want it to be a destination and I want to be good at my job.
If I could build on both that, I think what you both want to do is give people a feeling when they come in contact with your
right.
brand. And
that's right.
And that's really the key. That tell me something great about retail is a feeling. That's it. And I've had a lovely time with you today.
Thank you, Imelda.
Really, you have been so lovely. And Patrick, thank you so
it's
much.
It's been a pleasure for both of us.
And who knows where this is going to end up around the world. So thank you very much.
Thanks for joining me on this podcast. Next time, I'll be speaking to Rachel Doyle. She is a third ever Lifetime Achievement Award winner with Retail Excellence and the first woman to win the Retail Excellence Award. I know you'll want to hear her story about how she built her business and how opportunity is everywhere. And that brings us to the end of another edition of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm your host, Bob Phibbs, the Retail Doctor. Please share the love and tell your friends to subscribe as I engage retailers to share their tips for growing your retail business. Find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. While you're there, you can find a transcript of this podcast. You can send an email to me at bob@retaildoc.com to tell me what you thought of this episode. And or you can leave a comment and share your experience right here as it relates to what we were talking about today. Again, I hope you'll tune in for another episode and good selling.